You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Hello, my name is Claude Biron, and I'm on half of the show of Mungan. That word is, it doesn't relate to me, that one. Different to me again. So good to come down here and mix up with people and talk to meet people, and it's one of the greatest things. We meet with some of our countrymen, and very close countrymen, so it's very good to mix in, and we all got story to tell. And if I meet anybody else, he got story to tell too, same as me, and same as my cousin Doris Kingen over here. They got story to tell from their side. As from today, it's a bit of privilege for me to, share my knowledge. And I retired back in 1987 working. And I've been a stockman and farmer, and I've been a tractor driver and dozer driver. And, I retired in 1987, and I said goodbye works and goodbye tractor and dozer, and even spraying sugarcane. You're spraying with a chemical and hand spray, you're going and spray a blow back into your nose and eye a bit, and I got affected there a little bit and didn't put in for a compo, but I survived it. And I go to church now. Me and the wife, we go to church. We got married about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago. And I play the lead guitar in churches, for opening meetings and songs and choruses and all that. That's my life story, bro.
Yeah, it's a very, very powerful life story. You've had a lot of experience there.
And, yes, thank you.
The most important thing we get is you are one of the elders selected to actually look at these objects that we're enjoying here at Melbourne Museum. And you explain the origin and the historical background of many of these objects. Before we go into the objects, you mentioned that you worked in the sugarcane industry. What's the effect of the sugarcane industry on your country?
When they do groundwork right in the front of the like a lagoon here, and the tractor just going past here with a big bumper disc and rip up soil, and when the rain come pour down up there, especially around Queensland where we are, the rain come by bucket after bucket of rain, that's what's all the topsoil into the lagoons and starting to sort of clog the lagoons up now, and weeds starting to grow right around the lagoon there to make it hard to see, barramundi floating around. Back in the 50s, my father used to walk around that big lagoon, couple of big lagoon, and used to see the water was that clean. You can see a barramundi standing up under the lily flower, and you can see him under there. So, we get a feed of barra there when Dad throw a big, four-pronged spear and get that one. And we lucky to get some good feed of barra that time. But, now it's sort of, but we don't get that sort of,
So depleted the soil and creating some damage in the lagoon and affecting the fishing and the feeding. So yes, it's really creating a very bad effect on the land.
That's true. Yeah, and the farmer knows that pretty well, one day the fishery called in there to pick me up. He said, "You want to come out for a ride?" Because we're the fish inspector. I said, "Yeah, all right, I'll come out and just to see what they got to say to me, and I got something more important to say back to them, Yeah, for my, for the way I grew up and knowledge of the land, and these young Miggle fellow, white fellow come along, they try to tell me, not to, spread too much bad weed and We don't do that, blooming tractor, you know, tractor. And the cattle farm was there before that sugarcane came. But that big country of ours, well, like my father owns it, was, but not anymore because of all sugarcane. When he first went out, there was a big cattle grazier people come out from America. They called themselves King Ranch. They're the biggest ranch in North America somewhere. They came out there and they destroyed the whole, you know, forest land. And my father went out of a look to see what the, you know, they had a big ball chain, like spreading both sides like a half a mile that side and half a mile this side. Two big D8 dozer that dragging them ball chains and knocking tree off and thousands and thousands. Well, Dad went out down here, you know, he went out and had a look at it. He fell down when he see what was going on. You know, my father fell on his hands and knee, cried for his country, you know. All he can hear was the thousands and thousands and millions of voice of crying of the trees and animal that was affected amongst that, you know, cleaning of the country. And that's what hurt me a lot, you know.
You've witnessed lots of changes and damage to the environment over these many years and through different careers that you've actually gone through in your life, working life.
Yes, brother, I tell you what, it was, you know, it's been a sort of torment for us, you know. Every time I talk about my home country and Dad's country, and usually bring a tease to my eye, and it's affecting me, you know. Love my country so much, like we always do. All my children, all my grandchildren, they got the name, language name from that country now, where Dad's country, and they're all under that language name, you know. That's the way I brought my lot up, and give them name from the country. So one day they know where their country is, where their name is, so they go back there. That's the way I told them.
And while putting together all these objects that we are all enjoying, something that are really important, something very small in the exhibition, in scale, but very significant historically for you because it's part of your life, part of your story, that toy that you enjoyed in your childhood, which is very rare. Yeah, tell us about its history, how you found it, and how you used it, and its significance.
Well, it's usually found in the edges of the bank of the river, and it's a little bit of rainforest there. That's where they're growing all the way up along the side of the river. That's where you find it, and I think what happened. I think some of the, what's his name, they died out. It was pretty good that time back in the 50s, even the 60s. And right back in the 40s was a lot, there we found a lot then that time in the 40s. Dad knew them, my father knew them, but when he was growing up to see what he was looking for, you know, and every time he used to grab them little passion fruit, but they're not passion fruit, they're special fruit. Very special fruit. And
when they dry, the shell is hard, and then you make a toy out of it, and you play and compete with your brother and other kids in the area.
Yeah, we always all have a game, you know. Some other family come along and joined us, you know, but we all have a game. Then who can do the best and all that? How long it can spin there for a while? But I always come out on the top. I got the best, you know.
Where's your brother to tell the story? If he was here, he would tell a different
alive,
story.
Man, if he was alive, he died before me. He's a young fella. I'm the oldest out of the family. They're about, what, five boy and three girl in my family. They nearly all died, and how many the oldest fella still living? I don't know.
This brings strong memories to you.
Yeah, it does. Oh, yeah, still have memories. What happened here 50 years ago or 60 years ago, I still know, you know. It's
And now it's very hard to find nowadays.
Yeah, very hard to find now, especially that fruit you're talking about. And we all talk about it. And me and my wife used to go up and down that river for blooming, you know, 3 or 4 days, try and look for it. All that vine just died out for some reason, I don't know.
Now, I'll just ask you to maybe send a message to our listeners and the younger generations. What message of wisdom would you send out there to them, because you are a holder of a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience?
Anybody but that who will be listening to this, look, I'd give you my advice. If you, wherever you come from, love your country, never hate it. Don't ever walk lopsided from your country. Always be glad to go home to the country wherever you're born and wherever you come from. Even your country, south, west, and east, and north. Treat your country as a home. That's a homeland, because that's a homeland my mother and father used to use. We go home to country. That's what mum used to say and dad used to say. Well, treat your country like a home, and it's a place where you can enjoy your life and bring your kids up and tell them about it, you know, tell them about the country and what it's all mean to. For me, it's a home. For me, it's love. Love for my country and everybody else's country. And, yeah.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.